We sometimes take for granted all of the blessings that we have to make a service all come together. And so I do want to thank the ladies and then the praise team, which is not here. They need a break every once in a while, a little Sabbath rest and being able to sometimes sit in the pews, which I will just tell you, if you're the praise team people, and I know who you are, you don't feel very comfortable sitting in the pew because there's like, it's like, this seems so funny and so weird. I know as a preacher, I'm always very, I'm a terrible worshiper in the pew because I'm always wondering, my wife is like, sit down. You don't have to stand up and be in charge. But we do thank everyone that makes the service. And again, we are looking for people that to hire somebody to do our technical things in the church. There's so many different things that are a part of making our worship come together and our church come together. A lot of them are quiet and silent and behind the scenes. So as an example, the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, they are doing all kinds of ministry. You don't see much about them. You don't hear much about them. But they are raising money, doing all kinds of service to our community and to people that are in need. They're wonderful. But they're not out there on the streets proclaiming it. Only on this one Sunday do we celebrate sort of all of their quiet work behind the scenes. And actually, in many ways, what I'm about to share with you right now about all these service things really ties into my message about how God has shaped us for service. But if we take a look at the Women's Missionary League and then people that do all kinds of other kinds of quiet service that we just don't see. Now, I got all emotional for Ashley there, but she'll be gone. And so how many of your kids have gone off into the military? Maybe you were one of those kids one time. And it's a quiet ministry. It's a service to our country and expression for her Christian faith. We won't see that, but it's happening. And we need to sort of appreciate sometimes what the scripture says. Our left hand doesn't even know what the right hand is doing. And in one sense, that's almost a proper and appropriate so that God has given the glory to it. I think about formerly Elizabeth Corliss, but Elizabeth was 8 years old when this church started. She's a founding member, and she has left this country and now has her home in Uganda, and we are thankful for her ministry there and her new family that she has there, and we ask that God bless her. Quiet, we don't see it. But we have even things here in our own church, and one of that is our youth ministry, which we were supposed to have a national youth gathering video, and I'm sorry, technically we can't pull that off, and next week we'll get that. But and we had Nick come and talk last week about that, but I have Lori, who I will invite, Lori Hakes, you know her, we love her, let's give a big hand for Lori. You probably know her more for Bells, but now she's all hidden back there in all those classrooms on all that. But I wanted to make sure we celebrate the ministry that she's doing and the great things that are coming up. So please share with us the things that are happening in children's ministry here at Risen Savior.
Yeah, hi, I'm Lori. Thanks for listening to me for a few moments today. Just wanted to let you know, if you know of any children ages preschool through sixth grade, we have a wonderful cross-training Sunday school that's going on right now. And the teachers there are so amazing that your kids are in wonderful hands. So as many kids as we could get to come to cross training, that's just wonderful. We start with large group and then go into smaller sections of rotations with like science and cooking and art. But all of it is pointing to the Bible and getting the Word of God in the minds and hearts of our wonderful children here. So it's been a great... It is a great ministry that we'd like to just emphasize. That is every single Sunday at 9:30. In 2 weeks, we have something special for the whole congregation. The Children and Youth Ministry are sponsoring a free lunch for all of you. So after this service, we'd like you, if you have confirmation kids or any kids in Sunday school, just bring them right over to Wing 1, and we're going to have lunch for you. You don't need to bring anything, and there'll be some fun games for the kids as well. Looking a little bit more ahead to December 9th, our children are going to be leading an 11 o'clock Sunday morning Christmas service, and that will involve a lot of extra music and some speaking parts and involving you as the congregation to be singing along as well. So we're looking forward to that, and the live nativity also in the end of December. So there's a lot going on here for the children, and I appreciate your support.
Thank you so very much. I wasn't sure I would be able to get Linda Harship here, but I'm glad that you, I know you're busy doing some other things. Linda has been a part of our ministry of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League for a long time. And again, this is all part of the sermon, by the way. This is all set up because it's all about service and ministry. Although you didn't get your video to this Sunday, we'll use it next Sunday, which will be fine because we're talking about evangelism and missionary work. So it'll all tie in together. If you could share a little bit about the work of the Lutheran Missionary League women here at Risen Savior, I'd appreciate that. Let everybody know the ministry that you guys are involved in.
Thank you, Pastor. Our group here at Risen Savior is called Risen Savior Women in Mission, and we're part of the National Lutheran Women's Missionary Organization. And most of you know us from collecting mites. The boxes have changed over the years, but all the money raised in these boxes over the last 76 years has been over $100 million, which is pretty amazing to think of. And each 2 years, we have about a $2 million grants that mission grants that go all over the world, and some of them right here in Colorado. One of them locally is in Lakewood at Bethlehem called The Table, and it's an outreach to homeless. We also support Lutheran Chapel at CU campus and several things in the Rocky Mountain District also. But what I like is to get together with other women. And so I hope that some of you after the service will come by and get our schedule of events. Many of you have helped us with our college care packages, our military packages, collecting coats, and we really appreciate that. And several of you, whether you come to any of the meetings, and some of the guys are our best mite givers, so feel free to come by our table and pick up a mite box, and we always have a pick up and drop off spot on the mission service tables there, so you can pick up a box and drop it off and then get another one, keep the cycle going. But ladies, you do not have to be some. I had somebody say, well, I guess I'm old enough to be part of LWML now. No, I joined LWML when I was in my 20s, so that's been quite a while ago. So all ages are welcomed, and we'd love to have you join us anytime it works into your schedule. Thank you,
Thank
Pastor.
You so very much. Thank you, Linda. Appreciate all the ministry work, and they have provided all of the goodies after church. How many of you had one of these when you were a kid growing up at your parents? My mom was intentional. And she used the unintentional generosity of four boys who didn't take the change out of their pants. So it was always at the laundry, and so she took all of our money and did work for the mission work on that. We're going to be talking about that. It's good to see all these different things that in many ways are hidden. And what we're going to be talking about is how God has shaped us. And in many ways, many of the work that we do is done in quiet, sort of loving, I'm trying to find the right word. It's the kind of ministry that doesn't promote itself, but it does such a blessing to others. So as we go through this, we're again in our Connect Ministry series, Is Jesus Contacting You? We're asking about the kind of shape that you are made. Not whether you're in good shape or not, we'll talk about that later, but what shape has God made you? He's made you particularly connected to the body of Christ in a special way. And so we're going to look at God's word here. Actually, we're a little bit late. I'm going to go quickly through this. You've seen this each week. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to for give you hope and a future. And part of what we had started with, and especially the first Sunday, that God has an overarching plan that we would have a relationship with him for all of eternity. But there's also a specific plan that he has for you right now, and that's what we want to look at as he's contacting you and talking to you about how he has shaped you and what that means in your life as you serve others. And we can look at 1 Corinthians 12, where he gives the gifts of the Spirit are listed out. It's also in Romans chapter 12. But as we look at it, God gives individually gifts to each of his of his children. It says in verse 7, now to each one, so everybody gets one, and this is beyond our time, talents, and treasures, natural abilities. The spiritual gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So we're giving these spiritual gifts so that we can be a blessing to others. And so each person has this unique place, a special way in which you can serve. It's going to be different. I'm called to be a pastor, so I do kind of pastor things. Other people do other kinds of work, and that's as it should be. In verse 12, it says this, and he's making the analogy is that each of us are different members of the body of Christ, and he uses the body analogy here. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, and that's the way it is with the church. He is the head, we are the body, we each have our place and our own particular function that God has for us in this. And each disciple of Christ is shaped for ministry, which we are sometimes, we talk about ministers. Well, actually, the New Testament word for ministry and service are the same thing. They're very similar on that. So all of us are ministers. All of us are to be engaged in service. All of us are to share God's love, to do good, and to help people in their time of need. And so I want to share with you a deep and profound truth that 1 Corinthians 12 is followed by 1 Corinthians 13. And you should note that in case you don't. And the reason I mention it is that too often we get caught in chapters. There were no such things as chapters when the New Testament and the Old Testament were written. We did that as scholars. They put that in there so that one scholar could talk to another scholar about a portion of Scripture and be able to get from one place to the other. It was a way of referencing parts of the Scripture. But it becomes a problem because we think only in segments. We think, 1 Corinthians 12, and then we stop as if that was a logical unit not connected to 11 and 13, but we hold 12 by itself. That would be a mistake. 1 Corinthians 12 is followed by 1 Corinthians 13, which means in 1 Corinthians 12, you have all these spiritual gifts that are given for the common good, for the work of ministry that we have. But 1 Corinthians 13 says you can do all those things, but if you don't have love, it's useless. It's of no value. You can be, give your body to be burned, give away everything, and you'll be charitable like crazy. But if you haven't had love, it's worthless. So we need to keep love as the superior thing in all that we do. So we use our God-given shape to love others. And this is really just an ongoing, if God is love and we are to be people of love, it doesn't surprise me. We keep talking about love every Sunday, to love others, but especially in their time of need. And I want to share with you a strategy. It's not the only way it can be done, but this is a five-part strategy to be able to use the shape God has made you in, and to be able to use it for service and love to people who are in need. I think the first thing you need is get ready. Be prepared. I think too often we are unprepared when people, when times of need happen. We knew that a hurricane was coming to the East Coast, and I wish I had the video thing. I have a wonderful picture of a family that part of our church was taking their mobile home to go back east to their family, and Kevin Hischke was on Channel 7, actually. It was really pretty amazing. And they did this whole thing about that they were going to help these people in need. They prepared for that. They gathered water, gathered all kinds of things. They got prepared, but everybody knew it was coming, and that's okay. I just wanted to tell you that it's part of our Christian life to be ready to help. Let me just show it to you here. We talked about this last week, Ephesians 4:28. People who steal shouldn't steal any longer. They should go to work. But it's not just work to get enough for themselves, that he may have something to share with those that are in need. That you need to work not just to get survival, but to be successful so you can do something significant, and even to the point of sacrifice, that we are very intentional about our giving. And what I would encourage you to think about is, do you need to put a budget line or line item in your budget that is saying, I'm going to hold this money aside because I know that needs will come up. I know that there's going to be some tragedies or crisis and other things, and I want to have something laid aside to help people that are in need. I think that's the kind of intentionality. The second thing, as we look at the strategy to love others, is you got to help people even if you're not ready. And the classic person on this is the Good Samaritan. He's gone on his business trip, and he's along the road between Jerusalem and Jericho, finds this guy who's been robbed, half dead, and other people have left him there, so he's probably three-quarters dead. And it doesn't fit his schedule. He might not have prepared for it, but here's this guy. He helps him out. He does what he needs to. He serves this person. He ministers to them, helps them in so many wonderful ways. He did that even when it wasn't convenient. Third thing, as a part of our strategy, is to open our eyes. I think this is probably the hardest thing for us. We need to open our eyes and then see the needs that are out there to help people in all this. This is what Jesus said. He's coming back in all of his glory. He's talking about what that's going to look like. And he's talking to the righteous and the unrighteous. He's talking to the people who are the sheep versus the goats. And he's separating all these things. And he's talking to the unrighteous here. And he says, they all will also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And the answer is they didn't see anybody. They were only worried about themselves. They had no open eyes at all, and they didn't see it. Now, by the way, this is probably as good a list of things that if you want to talk about how we are to use our shape to be able to help and serve people, here's a good beginning list. Jesus gives it, so I sort of encourage it. If people are hungry, so you think about the Denver Rescue Mission is one of the things that we serve, and Packaway Hunger, and a few other things that we just do here. There are many others. People are thirsty. There's all kind of water purification. We did that when we were in Cambodia for a while. People are strangers or needing clothes or sick or in prison. All those kind of things. You need to say, is my life at all engaged in helping in any of these categories? Am I actually looking? Now, I have to say, sometimes we can look and not see. Yesterday, I was looking for some tomatillos. I think that's the way you pronounce them. And they're sort of like tomatoes, but they're not. They're sort of greenish, sort of tomato-ish, not tasting like tomato things. You know what I'm talking about, tomatillos. Did I say it? Anyway, so I went to the Mexican area because we were doing a Mexican dish, and I couldn't find it there. And then I go over to tomatoes because I thought it was the tomatoes. And I'm looking up and down the King Super aisle and looking at all these things. It's not there. Now I'm looking. Then I turn. This is what I will say. The guys don't hate me for this. I did ask for help. And I asked the lady that worked there. I said, where are the tomatillos? And she goes, right there. And I'm like, standing like right next to him. And so part of it is this. You can be looking and still not see. You might need somebody else who can point out where the needs are. You might say, well, I don't see any needs in my community. I don't see any problems here. I don't see any issue. Well, duh, it's because you're looking and not seeing. It's not that it's not there. So you might need to ask somebody, do you see the needs that are right here? And they go, yeah, it's right there. So open your eyes in all this. He goes on and says, he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for the one of the least of these, you did not do for me, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Our strategy for to love others through service includes two more things. First of all, I think it includes this. You just need to relax. Sometimes we're like, we got all this time, talents, and treasures. We got to do all this stewardship things. We need to love all these people. And we get all excited about that. And I'm not opposed to that necessarily, but we can become anxious about it. But here's the nice thing. God already he's got it all together. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 2. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So we know that he's created us and shaped us in a special way. So let's see now, and we should also mention that verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2 talk about that we're not saved by our good works, but by faith in Jesus. But so after we've been saved in Jesus, we have a purpose. And that purpose is to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So he's already got your to-do list there. So I need to just relax. Those things are there. Open your eyes. Go ahead and do those things. God shaped your life. Shaped you for a life of loving service. The last thing I want to share with you is that we are disciples of Christ. We should be like Jesus in all this. Philippians chapter 2 says this, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, which, by the way, there's the sermon, amen, hallelujah, who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. He changed his shape. Instead of being God and God Almighty, he took upon himself a form of a servant being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. There's the service that takes you all the way to the ultimate end so that you and I would have salvation. All of it because he was willing to love and serve, to be a minister to us who didn't deserve it. Now, you're going to find as you do service to people, well, they don't really deserve it. Well, and how is that relevant? This is something where it's like we share love and help people in their time of need. So my question that we're asking is, what shape am I? I think you need to look at it. How are my natural gifts and talents connected with my spiritual gifts? How does that sort of put me in the sort of the teamwork of the family of God and within the church? What is my place? How do I serve? How do I be a blessing? Lori's talking about her staff that she has there. She could use some more on all that. But whatever it may be, using your gifts and talents so that you can love and help other people. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much that you've shaped us. You've given to us so many blessings. We ask that we might be intentional about our giving, and when opportunities arise when we are not ready, that we would still respond in love and generosity. Help us, O Lord, as we think about the people who are in need, that we would use the abundance that you have given to us in a very intelligent, strategic, and leverage kind of way to be able to help them in their time of need and provide for them so that they can become everything you want them to be in Christ Jesus. Help us, O Lord, to work not just individually but as a team and as a church to be able to be a blessing to those who are in need in our community and out into the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. I keep looking for the benediction up on the screen. I have to read it here. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. We conclude with, I think, I am free. And so I thank you, ladies, and Phil, for making this all possible.